So you're telling me that the submerged chaos is not in New Jersey? Right. So what, it's like a silo in Nebraska or something? No, it's not that either. Oh, yes, that's right. We go to the scripture to find out what the submerged chaos is. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, everyone. Martin Zender here at the Revelation series, and I was going to jump into the locusts today because I've been waiting to do that, but I need to give you some more detailed information about this thing called the submerged chaos, which the Concordant version early on translated the abyss. Wasn't there a movie named The Abyss? If not, there should have been. But there are so many things, places that exist in God's creation that we are unaware of. For instance, there's Tartarus, the gloomy caverns of Tartarus, where the spirit beings, which were disobedient in the days of Noah, are kept. It's somewhere in the earth. Do I actually believe that there is somewhere in the earth called Tartarus, where there are spiritual beings kept? Yes, I do. Spiritual beings, it is seen from the scripture, do not like darkness, and they do not like water. And they do not like New Jersey. They hate New Jersey, and they hate the airport there. But besides that, there is also the submerged chaos. This is a real place. It's a real place. I don't know where it is. I really don't. I don't know where it is specifically, but it's somewhere underneath the water level. The first reference to the submerged chaos is in Luke 8. First of all, why are we talking about the submerged chaos? Because this is where the spiritual being Apollyon descends to release the fumes. We're going to talk about fumes. Yes, of course we're going to talk about the fumes of the torment of God, not smoke, but fumes. But we're going to talk about this submerged chaos. These things are so real, and the fact that we've never heard of them, never seen anything like it, has nothing to do with anything. Apollyon is real. Apollyon, the spiritual being that is appointed for this hour to release the hordes of locusts upon the inhabitants of the earth, exists right now. This spiritual being is somewhere. He may be listening to my voice now. Hello, I like you. I respect you a great deal, and I'm doing my best to give you your due. Got to cover my bases there with Apollyon. I'm not going to be here when Apollyon does his deed. Now, it could be that Apollyon, destroyer, mind you, that's what this spiritual being's, I almost said dude, but no, I will not disrespect Apollyon. That is what this spiritual being's name means, destroyer, and he is appointed to destroy. And as I told you earlier, destruction is God's strange work. He makes, he breaks, he destroys, but he rebuilds and makes alive again. So let's go to, again, the unveiling 9. And the fifth messenger, we're at the fifth messenger who is blowing the fifth trumpet. The fifth messenger trumpets, and I perceived a star fallen out of heaven. A star is a luminary. In this case, it's a hymn. And to him was given the key of the well of the submerged chaos. So we're not going down to the submerged chaos, because once you get into the water and the water level, the spirit beings cannot operate. But there is a well, apparently. That is, there is a shaft. You think, Zender, you've lost it. You're taking this literally. I am. There is a shaft of some kind going down to the submerged chaos. And this is what Apollyon has the key to. And he releases hordes that are prepared. These locusts may be there right now. They're incubating. This is creepy as can be. But again, as real as can be. And to him was given the key of the well of the submerged chaos. And he opens the well of the submerged chaos. And fumes ascended out of the well as the smoke of a large furnace. As the smoke of a large furnace. You really have to look at this word as, which appears many times in the unveiling. As. Love this word as. I just love it because it means it's not that, but it's as that. It's like that. Like the fumes of a furnace. That's why I like this word so well, because it gives us a hint of what it is. But whatever it says it is, it's not that if John uses the word as. And he opens the well, fumes ascended out of the well as the smoke of a large furnace, and the sun and the air are darkened by the fumes of the well. This is literal. It doesn't say as, and it's just as the sun is darkened. And no, the sun is darkened by the fumes of the well. And out of the fumes came out locusts. Tomorrow, the locusts. So our first reference of the submerged chaos is found in Luke chapter 8. Let's start with verse 27. Now, at Jesus' coming out on the land, there meets him a certain man out of the city who had demons, and for a considerable time puts on no cloak and remained in no house but in the tomb. So this lunatic was running around the tombs, gallivanting amongst the dead, not wearing a cloak. That might be a nice way of saying he was naked, and it happened for a considerable time, which is probably a classic scriptural understatement, for this guy was gallivanting naked for years among the dead. That's what I would have said, because I get right to the point, but this is very delicate. And now, perceiving Jesus and crying out, he prostrates to him and said in a loud voice, "What is it to me and to thee, Jesus, Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, thou shouldest not be tormenting me." Now, this was not the guy talking. This was the demons inside him talking. There was great demonic activity at the time our Lord was on earth, because the demons were preparing. They knew, again, I've told you, this is important. The spiritual world anticipates the next move of God. And so many people have told me that the activities of the spiritual world, those who work in counseling, they say that people come in with issues of possession. Demons are possessing them. They hear voices and all this stuff. And I don't doubt it, because there is another great move of God coming, the snatching away and the inauguration of the kingdom. So we look for demonic activity to increase, and it is. What is it to me and to thee, Jesus, Son of God Most High? The demons know who he is. I beseech thee, thou should not be tormenting me. For he charged the unclean spirit to be coming out from the man, for many times it had gripped him. The unclean spirit, there it is. Many times it, the unclean spirit, had gripped him, and he was bound, being guarded with chains and fetters, and bursting through the bonds. This is superhuman strength. This guy, whoever he was, of himself, does not burst through the bonds. This is the demon in him. He was driven by the demon into the wilderness. Now Jesus inquires of him, saying, "What is your name?" Now he said, "Legion," for many demons entered into him. So the demons are answering through this man. Have you ever seen the movie? What is that movie with? My only problem is I can't remember the name of the movie or the star in the movie. It was Kevin Spacey, and it was a movie about a guy, a space alien, who came down and possessed the body of a human being. What the heck is the name of that movie? The alien's name was Prote, and the title has a number in it. Anyway, I'll look that up for you. It's so interesting, though, that... I mean, horrifying, really. This can't happen to you. This can't happen to you, because the Spirit of God makes its home in you. How disembodied spirits, not talking about dead humans, but spirits can come into human beings. We see it here, and it's happening before our very eyes here in Luke chapter 8. Now, Jesus inquires of him, saying, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons entered into him. And they entreated him that he should not enjoin them to be coming away into the submerged chaos. The submerged chaos. So the demons begged not to be sent to the submerged chaos, because they know that once they got below the water level into the submerged chaos through the shaft, or whatever the heck it is, that they would be disabled. They would be devitalized. And so... what Jesus did then was, now this is what happened next, 32. I'll just read it instead of paraphrasing it. Now a considerable herd of hogs was there grazing on the mountain, and they entreat him that he should permit them to be entering into these. The demons beg Jesus that they would rather go into the hogs than into the submerged chaos. And he permits them. See, they have to ask permission. They have to ask permission. Nothing happens, not even in the demonic world, that is not done by the permission of God and Christ. And he permits them. Now the demons coming out from the man entered into the hogs, and the herd rushes down the precipice into the lake and was smothered. So here we still have water destroying and devitalizing these beings, and the pigs are wasted. Sorry for the hogs there. Yeah. That's exactly how it sounded when they went into the lake. Yeah. That's the sound effect there. And I don't know, the demons were noiseless completely. But they rushed down into the precipice. And apparently this was better than going into the submerged chaos. So we have another reference to the submerged chaos. The only other references now are in the book of Revelation. Now, Romans 10. I've never understood this verse. I'm just going to go ahead. I was planning on skipping this because then I will show you my ignorance concerning it. And I don't want to do that. But let's be honest here. There's a reference to the submerged chaos in Romans 10. I wasn't ready to bring this up, and where is it? There's a verse that says, who shall be descending into the submerged chaos? Here it is. Romans 10, verse 6. You may not be saying in your heart, who will be ascending into heaven? That is, to be leading Christ down. Or, who will be descending into the submerged chaos? That is, to be leading Christ up. That verse right there that I just read, don't understand it. I've read commentaries on it. I still don't get it. It's one of the most obtuse passages I've ever seen from Paul. But the point that I had to give you, the other reference, the only other reference besides Revelation and Luke, where the phrase submerged chaos comes in, and it's here. Who will be descending into the submerged chaos? This is real. It keeps being mentioned. And again, the ancients, those who were writing this, they knew more about this stuff than we ever will. Now, I have a straw here as a bookmark, marking, you see that straw? It's still in the paper. Marks my place in Romans 19. And let's see, where is the submerged chaos here? Let's see, it's the wild beast comes out of the submerged chaos to combat the two witnesses. I guess that's the next entry here. And I'm trying to find it. Where did that go? I have my other bookmark here, the tract Salvation Plain and Simple, which is a joke by Dr. Curtis Hudson. Many of you have heard me mention that before, and obviously I'm stalling here. Anyway, in Revelation somewhere, I think it's 11, the wild beast comes up from the submerged chaos to make war with the two witnesses. And the fact that the wild beast does this, don't worry, we'll get to the reference when we get to this part of Revelation. Only God. This tells me, first of all, that the beast, the wild beast, is a spiritual being because it comes out of the submerged chaos. There's no human being in the submerged chaos. None. No, these are reserved for these demonic spiritual entities, whether they're the locusts or they are, or it's the wild beast. And Satan, in another reference in Revelation, that would be in verse 20, Satan is, let's go to verse 1 of chapter 20, I perceived a messenger descending out of heaven, having the key of the submerged chaos. So there's a messenger, I wouldn't doubt that this also is Apollyon, doesn't say, and a large chain in his hand, and he lays hold of the dragon, the ancient serpent, who is the adversary, and Satan, and binds him 1,000 years. And he casts him into the submerged chaos and locks it and seals it over him, lest he should be deceiving the nations until the 1,000 years should be finished. Now, Satan is cast into the lake of fire alive with the adversary, with the beast and the false prophet, but that doesn't happen until after the 1,000 years has run its course. Satan is let loose not from the lake of fire, but from the submerged chaos. It's a place where spirit beings are idled, that is, until they are purposely let loose. That's one of my main points here, that these spiritual beings are purposely let loose. And when the wild beast comes from the submerged chaos, it does so because it is let up out of the submerged chaos. Satan is locked into the submerged chaos at the inauguration of the thousand years, and only the unlocking of the submerged chaos can let Satan out. It takes a spiritual being, namely Apollyon, to unlock the submerged chaos in the unveiling chapter 9 here, and to release the locust. God is in charge of this. He's in charge of this place, which centers every time in Scripture among supernatural beings. You don't lock up human beings in the submerged chaos. That would be correctional facilities in New Jersey. Submerged chaos is not there. It's not a correctional facility. Well, it is technically, but it's not for humans, but for spiritual beings. Tomorrow, the locusts of the unveiling chapter 9.